You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Nancy L. Hopkins. Nancy is an author, investigative journalist, talk show host, and cosmic historian. She has delved deeply into the connections which link John F. Kennedy's death with the Vatican, the Mafia, secret societies, and even to the life of Christ. Her book, Cosmic Reality, is a must-read for anyone who is in the awakening process and wants to know the truth. She has guests on Wolf Spirit Media that you won't find on the controlled mainstream media talking about what you won't hear there either. Her book is divided into two sections. The second section is called Down the Rabbit Hole. Like George Kavassalis, she reveals the truth behind the curtain, pulling it back to explore numerous possibilities in order to arrive at what's plausible and, in most cases, undeniable. I highly recommend her book. You can check out her website and other items, including Shungite, we'll talk about a little bit, at www.cosmicreality.net. And the other websites are on the bio page here. To find out more, let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Hello there. How are you? I'm fine. I'm having a great day. Crazy
day.
Oh,
good. How are those?
The energies are all really nutty out there right now, so it's a ride
no
every
kidding.
Day.
No kidding. What's your... Well, you know, we could go down that rabbit hole, but I think that would... I think everybody knows how nutty things are right now. You know, we've got the... in 2 days, I think we have the Pluto-Uranus alignment, the square. And then I think a day after that, we have the equinox and the moon. Anyway, we got a lot of things happening. So
there's always a lot of things happening. And I mean, the main thing that we look at the astrology from a near Earth kind of concept. But what we're really doing is we're moving into another age. But moving into another age takes us into a different part of the galaxy. And when we get into this part of the galaxy, there's all sorts of different energies. Different energies, different pieces of particles that are hitting us. There is no way that we can't change, not because of what's happening in our heads, but because what's happening in our environment. And this time of going through this is very critical, because if we can get through this particular passage, we're going to come out on the other side either as not here or
right.
as something that is just unbelievable.
Wow.
And I believe we're going to be something unbelievable.
Well, I'm in your camp, Nancy, and, you know, I've had a chance to look down the rabbit hole, too. And I keep coming back to the unbelievable part. And I just have to trust my intuition on that one. And it tells me that it's going to be beyond our imaginations.
Won't argue with you.
So you've been down the rabbit hole and deeper than probably most people. And you've had a number of guests on your show that have... shared information, and there probably aren't too many subjects that we couldn't go down. What is your take on the global situation right now, and who is really behind the curtain? What is behind the curtain?
Well, I think it depends on where you look.
Right.
Yeah, I've been in this. Well, you mentioned John Kennedy. What happened when he was assassinated is an entire generation that came to be known the 60s as the 60s generation.
Mm-hmm.
it's an interesting phenomena, because when you think of a child, what's the difference between a child's mind and an adult mind? A child is a child until they ask a question that no adult can answer. And it was for an entire generation the killing of one man.
Yeah.
Now, over the, well, I don't even know, 67, I think I'm 67. So through all of these years of looking at so much of it from so many different angles, I have been very blessed in that I'm single and don't have a family of kids. And so I've had the opportunity to be very selfish and to continue researching. Mm-hmm. And what I came to understand, and this was like last year, was that if John Kennedy had been allowed to survive, we would have followed a leader into a very bright future.
Mm-hmm.
When he disappeared, it was left to us. And as you know, because you posted it today, we are in an environment where the Aquarian age is one of unity.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is that the real movement in the change in the new reality building is coming from people who have not had a voice, who have not been out there. Now, there's some people like you and many others who are listening to it, have continued to listen to it. But some of the bigwigs that have been doing so much very important work to bust it open, they're continuing to think in terms of what was. Whereas the newbies, I call them, the ones that are awakening now, are willing to look at things that even we would not look at.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's like the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Some of the kids are just like blowing me away, because you start to have a conversation with them and they take it farther than an adult would.
Right.
And I think that's because of imagination.
Oh, yes. Yes. And that's a really important faculty. And one of the things that I see having happened is that we've been put through a number of traumatic events. And those events are designed to shock us out of our sensibilities and ability to think. And so we're continually assaulted with trauma, and that keeps us unbalanced at the center. And so in addition to all the other things that are going on, that we could, a laundry list of chemicals and additives and big pharma and the rest of it, we have really been kept in the dark. And the kids are starting to, they're starting to revivify their imagination. I was just kind of blown away by a series of videos that is attempting to document that the Earth is flat, the flat earthers. And from a certain perspective, it is. So, you know, I'm having to entertain ideas that I thought I wouldn't have to return to, and I'm sure that you are too.
Oh, yeah, you walk away from something because you don't resonate with it, and then years later, it pops back out, pops back up, and you go like, ooh, why didn't I pay attention to that before?
Yeah, like the Paul is dead thing.
yes,
I just recently had a friend send me some links to a post that said that Ringo had just come out with the information that Paul died in 1966, and he wanted to set the record straight before he, you know, crossed over, because he's getting to that age where, you know, he doesn't know how long he's going to be here. And we know that anybody can be assassinated and taken out, because that's how the Matrix works. And supposedly he came up with that, and I listened to an hour and a half radio show and looked at some videos and photographs and the rest of it, and I thought, you know, that was the coming out in the 60s, when I was just starting to, you know, kind of blossom in my own consciousness. And here we are visiting it again, and I thought, well, this is really interesting. I was shocked, you know, because after all those years, I got it. People are going to be shocked when they find out that 911 was a massive inside undertaking with thousands of people, you know, in the military and in politics, and especially in the banking industry and in the, you know, black ops. from of this country and other countries. They're going to be really surprised when they find out that it was done knowingly and intentionally for a number of reasons, and that it was a false flag event, and that they've been going on all over the place. So once you crack the egg and you start to allow the possibility of something to be real, then the other things that you've been hiding from yourself start to show up. And I think that's why people have been in such massive denial.
Well, as far as the 9/11 situation, what was happening was that if you try, because, you know, people that look at the facts go, are you people crazy? Now, let me just give you an example. They claim that the towers came down because the plane fire melted the trusses and that the top floor started to crash down into the second floor below it. And it was a cascading effect that they called pancaking. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got a floor falling and it hits the floor below, and then they fall together and they hit the one below it, and then so on and so on and so on. Well, the reality of it is that the 80 floors in the one building that came down in 11 seconds. I want somebody to clap their hands 80 times in 11 seconds. Go ahead. Ooh. Give it a try. Impossible. And if it's impossible to clap your hands 80 times in 11 seconds, how the hell did the thing come down pancaking? Wow. I mean, just look at it. Wake up. Look at the facts. It's simple as that. But when you start to tell somebody about that, they glass over and they say, well, I got to go now. So I'm sitting there with a guy who had just done that to me again, and I said to myself, what would happen if you were trapped in a room and couldn't leave and you didn't believe in this and somebody else did? You know, what would happen to your reality? And so that's why I wrote a novel called The 9/11 Crusade. And it's about that scenario. One guy doesn't believe any of this, and he's trapped in a car for, you know, like 14 hours. But 9/11 Crusade is a novel. So people can say, oh, it's a novel. It's just a novel. It's not true. Even though everything in it except the characters and the plot is absolutely true. Yeah. Because people just, see, the basic problem is that human beings are really, really good people. Yeah. They're really good, and they cannot imagine what kind of mentality would create such unbelievable and profound evil acts.
Yeah.
And within the context of the characters, I think I could get that across, you know, because it was the only way to get it across. We have to work on people's understanding of evil, and that seems to be a prevailing theme at this time, the difference between good and evil. And that is something that I never wanted to breach. But at the end of Cosmic Reality, I found I had to, you know, that there is an evil out there, but there is a massive amount of good. Mm-hmm. And the good has got to recognize the evil, stand up and say, well, we don't have to play that game. Mm-hmm. And we don't. You know, it's not a matter of making changes in the reality that we have. It's a matter of creating a reality we want.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, absolutely. And then part of the process, which I think is slightly hindering our ability to create, is the fracturing of the internal fracturing and the lack of self-investigation and self-knowledge, so that so many people are committing personal acts that they're ashamed of, and, you know, out of guilt and fear and loathing, and mostly should rightly be ashamed of, because their conscience still works. Whereas those who are more on the psychopathic side or lack empathy, they don't have conscience, the shadow gets stuffed. So when you stuff something that you've done and start lying and going down that route, then that becomes that goes into the collective unconscious, and that turns into a manifestation, a dark manifestation. So we have to face our own shadows. and we have to tell ourselves the truth, and we have to be honest with ourselves, and then set about making it right. Because the people who are really, it's the good people that are still in denial because they don't want to look at their own stuff. And if they look at what's going on in the world, the global pedophile and sex rings and trade, the evil that's going on at the Vatican and the royal families and in politics, in underground societies and secret societies and in space, the breakaway civilization, and so on and so forth, then we're not going to make it through that process that you talked about at the very beginning of the show intact, at least not those people who are clinging to their guilt and their fear.
Well, my assessment is that it's really based on, it's based on fear, but the fear is continually working on us in so many different ways. And if you are full of fear, you can't claim dominion. Mm-hmm. And what we mean by claiming dominion is to say, I am a sovereign being. Mm-hmm. Nobody controls me. I am the most important person in my life. Because if I'm not right, nobody is right. Mm-hmm, and to get people to that realization of their power can only come with when we join together and we begin to tell each other the truth.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
we don't tell each other the truth on the very fundamental things that make us so special. We don't talk about the fact that we have telepathic powers. We don't mm-hmm. talk about the fact that we can manifest anything that our thoughts want to manifest. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about the fact that the heart has got much more power in an electromagnetic concept than the mind will ever have. It has neurons in it that actually are memory banks. We mm-hmm. have circuits that send much more information from the heart to the mind than the mind sends to the heart. We have got to become focused on opening up our hearts. And when we open up our hearts, we leave ourselves vulnerable. But you don't leave yourself vulnerable when you claim dominion. And that's what people have got to understand, is that it is the power of your mind. Reality is what we think it is. Okay? The second rule is majority wins. But that does not mean by numbers. That means by the power of focus. How many people can get themselves to a position of focusing power that will completely change reality? If you have only a few of them that are more focused than all of the evil in the world, it's a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to think in terms of confrontation. All we have to do is think in terms of controlling our own thoughts. And that's what we try to instill in people, that they keep all this information from you because you are vastly more powerful from an energetic sense, because mm-hmm. everything is energy. It's an energy universe. Our job as human beings, according to Dolores Cannon, is to understand how to manipulate energy. When you mm-hmm. are manipulating energy, you are doing magic. Magic is the manipulation of energy. Everybody can do it. It's not hard, but they've been keeping this from us. Mm. They don't want us to know this. Why? Because the third rule of cosmic reality is whoever's in charge of reality is going to keep everybody else from knowing rules one and two. Reality is what we think it is. Majority rules.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is that if we think of ourselves or know within ourselves that we are the creator through our thoughts, we are creating reality together, then it becomes easy to understand why those who are just a little bit ahead would be able to manipulate us into creating what they want us to create, because all they have to do is control the media and control our thoughts, and by doing that, we are literally creating the future that other people want. By our lack of consciousness and our inability to claim our sovereignty. So I am totally with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure your audience understands this, but when Lance is referring to controlling our thoughts, he's referencing, yes, the mass media. But there is also the fact that they have taken the Wi-Fi RF electromagnetic systems, the signals, and they have used them as a carrier wave. Now, a carrier wave is, in radio or in television, is a signal that is it's got known parameters. And when somebody adds something to that signal, they take that information off of the signal, decipher it, and then on the other side, the receiver side, you have music and you have talk and you have visual pictures. In the case of what they've been doing is that they have sent out a carrier signal in the form of Wi-Fi so you can talk on your cell phone. What you don't realize is that they've added things to that signal mm-hmm. that are frequency-oriented to get inside your brain.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, that's where the real control is. That's what they are attempting. Now, mm-hmm. what mm-hmm. the problem is that every human being has their own frequency. There is nobody on the place of anywhere, everywhere, that is the same as you. But each of us is like pieces of a orchestra. When everybody is playing themselves a perfectly tuned instrument, you have a marvelous, wonderful sound. But if you've got a lot of discordance, well, then it sounds like crap. So what you got happening is with these signals coming into you, they're causing you to go out of tune.
Mm-hmm.
They're causing you to feel muddled. More importantly, at the same time, with the signal itself, the carrier wave itself, it's destroying your physical body. It's attacking you at a cellular level. Why? Because it's energy, and you are energy. The fact that we think we are material is because the energy frequency that we're vibrating at is all below the speed of light. So it all
right.
looks solid. It's not solid. There's nothing solid. And that comes from quantum physics. I mean, I can't even underestimate how much metaphysical explanation and understanding I came to by studying quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there was the metaphysicians talking for thousands of years about these things, and then you get the quantum physicists who come along and say, well, let's see what quantum physics is all about, and all of a sudden they realize the most important thing that they realized is that at the quantum level, now what we mean by the quantum level is that vast 90% of everything, what we see as being real and materialistic is only 10%.
Mm-hmm.
90% is the quantum field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the quantum field, every time they would try to create an experiment, what would happen is that the experiment would actually result in what they thought it would result in. And it didn't take them very long to realize that the dictating force at the quantum level was the human mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that takes it into a whole different level. And now quantum physicists are being able to understand consciousness and to speak of consciousness, to tell you where it is in the brain and how it operates. It's all at the quantum level. But
mm-hmm.
the control of quantum energy is the human mind. We can mm-hmm. harness all of that energy. And that's why what they're afraid of. If the human beings begin to wake up and realize how powerful they are, then there's nothing going to stop us. And if we do it out of love, there's nothing going to stop us from creating a marvelous future, one of incredible beauty and incredible advancement of the human species.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I was getting visuals of the movie Lucy as you were talking, because that movie is kind of a metaphor for what you're talking about. And, you know, one of the things that I find interesting is that when the quantum physicists stimulate affect a quark in one part of the universe, the one that's matching it is instantaneously having the same experience. So it shows you that the speed of light is an illusion. And in fact, I've always thought to myself that was crazy. You know, why are we limiting ourselves to the speed of light when everything is instantaneous? Well, that was just a program that had to be seeded into the consciousness of the humans here to get them to believe that we are in a time frame. And so once we believe that, then everything slows down and we can't manifest at the speed of light at the speed of instantaneous manifestation, because of course it takes hundreds of thousands of light years to get somewhere. Well, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. It's not true. And you know, with all the things like electromagnetic frequencies that you're talking about, chemtrails, HARP, nuclear radiation, and the degradation of the energy field that we're in, the biosphere, then it's no wonder that we're in a constant state of tenseness and panic, just about, because there's always something that's about to go off. And all these false flags and, you know, fake murders that are arranged by, you know, three-letter agencies to scare us to death, it's like going to a Halloween party. You know, it's designed to scare us. So you just have to kind of look at life like, oh, it's Halloween. Yes, of course, it's just a party. And, you know, ignore the Matrix, because it's not where it's at. It's crumbling and falling apart. And I think you were the one one of the many people that's talked about the breakaway civilization and the real research that has been going on with corporations and the super corporations that form a figure eight, kind of a lock on the planet. It's a spell, and they have a breakaway civilization now that is so far advanced that it rivals Star Trek. We don't see it because we don't have eyes to see yet, but you talk about it, and so do a lot of other people. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Well, there is a breakaway civilization, a civilization that has vastly superior devices and abilities and technologies, but that's not us.
Right, right.
You know, we can't be worried about that.
And we have the technology within us, and it's organic.
Well, because they're limited.
Right.
We're not.
Right.
They're limited by their own technology. We are not.
That's right. That's right.
What happened was that they gambled that there was no God, Gaia. And we have come to understand that they gambled and they lost. I think that at this point they probably are realizing that they lost.
Yeah.
Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when I was writing Cosmic Reality, I got to what I thought was the end of the book. I was printing it. Then something happened, metaphysical, you know, like a weird doo-doo-doo-doo thing happened. And I went, okay, obviously I'm not finished with the book. What did I miss? So I went back, and I'm going back and back and page after page back into the book saying, no, 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 no. And then there was a point I always said, okay, yeah, maybe here. Maybe it's here that I missed it. And what I had missed was a scientific discussion about the biosphere and about a very fundamental fact. You cannot have manifestation without consciousness. And if you can't have manifestation without consciousness, then what the heck created this biosphere? Well, a consciousness. And that consciousness, in my opinion, is the consciousness of a creator God.
Mm-hmm.
Something
mm-hmm.
that is independent of us and yet all has created all of us, and so now is dependent upon us.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to say there is no Gaia, then Gaia ceases to have any kind of influence on us. And
mm-hmm.
so therefore a breakaway civilization and evil can run rampant. Now, when you look at the science of it and you understand the energetics of it and you realize there is a consciousness, as I did, and trust me, this was not something that, I mean, it was coming to me as I was writing it. I felt very, I don't channel, but I certainly am guided to certain information. And I suddenly came to, I went through a series of conscious levels. And I say that, you know, first you have the conscious level of molten, of a gaseous ball. Then you have a molten ball. And then you have the first, you know, vestiges of life. And then you have the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom. And finally you get up to the human kingdom. All of these were different experiences of a higher level of consciousness. Now, when Gaia created the human being, not the human animal that just sort of like was, you know, growing out of the concept of survival of the fittest and genetics, and but the human being, that was another level of consciousness. And by that I mean that the human being was created as a vessel that would allow the realization of the soul connectedness, the spirit connectedness, that would be able to channel higher energies into a 3D earth plane to work with her to create another level of consciousness, mm-hmm. which I was told was called shaman consciousness, shamanistic consciousness, which means that you are able as an individual to be completely solid as an individual while allowing yourself in your mental capacity to merge with other beings in a massively larger concept of compassion and empathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can really get inside of them and know what it is to be them.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, a fox only knows what it's like to be a fox. A rock only knows what it's like to be a rock. But a human being in a shamanistic consciousness can feel those things, can get inside of a fox and know what it's like to be a fox, can get into a rock to know what it's like to be a rock. And that's where we have to go to make this new leap. But to do it, we have to do it with a complete claim of dominion over our own sovereign being and joining with Gaia in dominion over the planet. And that's where I went with my understanding of what I was being led to write, that Gaia is the boss. And so I made myself, I mean, completely subservient to whatever she needed. I mean, it was in every cell of my body. Okay, I got it. I'm an individual. I'm going to work for this consciousness that has created all of this biosphere for the one purpose of creating a new reality. Now, when I did that, it was I published the book in October. And then it was republished because Bill Brockbrader asked if he could write the foreword to it. And so I republished it. But so that was November when it was actually, you know, went out. By March 4th, Shungite had come into my life. And Shungite is, I was in the mineral business for a decade. I used to buy and sell, and I finally got out of the business because I got to the point where I couldn't sell it. I wanted to keep it all. And,
right.
You know,
right.
So yeah. I was a lousy business person, but I have a massive collection of minerals. I know a tremendous amount about them. I understand the mineral trade. I was in it. And so Shungite comes along. Now, how did Shungite come along? Well, I was listening to, well, I wasn't listening. The Facebook was ding, 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 ding. What is happening? And what was happening was that a lot of people had woken up to the problem of what we discussed earlier, the Wi-Fi situation and
right.
the mind control
right.
and the damage to the body. So I said to Gaia, I said, Gaia, give me something to give them. And I had been in the 80s, tried to start a company. I actually started, it failed, to go into people's homes because at that point we didn't worry about Wi-Fi, but we certainly were worried about the electromagnetic. And in a home that's got problems with the signal of electromagnetic, just damaging the human body, not carrying signals or anything, but damaging the human body, you can do certain things about it. So, but nobody would listen to me. So, okay, you're not going to listen to me. Now, the reason that I knew that was I was an electronic warfare officer in the Army. And while I was there, there was a situation in the embassy, State Department embassy in Moscow, where too many people were coming down with cancer and different cancers. So they contacted me because I was a Soviet expert and I was the expert on electronic warfare to ask, do the Soviets have some weapon that could be doing this? And I said, well, I'll tell you because your audience probably understands this. I remote viewed the embassy.
Uh-huh.
And all I saw was Wi-Fi. I mean, at that time we called it just microwave, but it was microwave signals all over the building. So I went back to him and I said, "Get NSA to go over there and take and see if they got Wi-Fi." Well, they did. Now, what the Wi-Fi was doing even then was they were sending the signal through the building, and just like I explained with the carrier wave, it was a carrier wave, but it would pick up and remodulate, so you've got this signal on top of that signal of the voice that was being everybody's voice inside the building. They could listen to what was happening. They inadvertently caused the cancer. They didn't. I mean, if they had known they were going to do that, they wouldn't, because they got caught in one of the biggest spy, you know, fiascos of it was the 70s, about 73.
Yes, I remember that.
Okay, so I understood what these things were very early in the game, and that's why by the 80s I was trying to fight them. And unfortunately, what happened was that my brother, who was a civilian with the U.S. Navy, was working with radars. And unfortunately, he always thought I was a little crazy. So he wouldn't listen to me when I told him of the physical dangers he was in. And he did die of a brain tumor that has now been directly linked to those signals.
Wow.
So my mission is very, very personal. You know, because I failed him, I want to be able to help people fight this. And that was when I got the shungite. And it was not, within an hour of me asking the question, Gaia led me to shungite. I went back, I said, get shungite, you'll be okay. And, you know, they're still doing it. And then they tell me they can't get the shungite. And I'm going, why can't you get shungite? And then within days of me asking that question, a friend of mine who had had a scheduled visit to me for many, many months, the day before she left, she's also in the mineral business. The day before she left, she got an order of shungite. And so she brings it over here. Now, I don't know that she's got it, but what happened was that I don't have I just have Wi-Fi since yesterday, but I'm not sure. But anyway, I did not have Wi-Fi at that time. And so she puts her Wi-Fi antenna thingy up, and immediately I'm going, I'm sorry, I can't take the energy. I cannot take the energy. And she looked at me, and then she looked at her hand, and she took a ring off, and she walked over and stuck it on the antenna. And within a fraction of a second, it was so fast, I couldn't believe it. It was like everything changed. I said, what'd you do? And she said, I got this thing called shungite. I'm like, oh, no, I can't believe this. So that's what started me. I mean, Gaia went so far as to have it delivered to me. And once I began to work with it, I began to understand its power. And the more that I began to understand its power, and thank God for people like JP on Wolf Spirit, because I went out there and I was talking crazy. Jay, I think Gaia just gave me this magical stuff that's going to completely stop all this electromagnetic crap and free our brains. And he went, really? And we began to communicate with one another and to work with shungite. And I can guarantee you that this is the event that they kept talking about. You remember when they were talking about the event, and it was, you know, it was going to be this, and it was going to be this, and it was going to be here, and it was going to be when, and did it?
Oh, yeah. They're still doing it.
Well, but they don't realize the event has happened. It's shungite, because Gaia gave us a fundamental tool with which to level the playing field. If you take and you put shungite on your cell phone, just a little teeny Band-Aid, I think I sent you some.
Yeah,
if you put it on your cell phone, what's going to happen is that the shungite signal is going to hijack your cell phone and the system itself, because shungite links itself to the quantum field, and it pulls quantum energy into its own field, and that field takes the... You see, when you get one of these signals coming into you, these damaging, toxic signals of electromagnetic RF energy, radio frequency energy, when it's coming in, it's rotating in a counterclockwise clockwise way, because that's what's toxic about it. Well, when it hits shungite, shungite is so powerful, it immediately reverses that spin in an electromagnetic signal. So now you've got a clockwise spin, which is biocompatible with a human being and will not hurt you. Then shungite takes it farther. You got a problem with water. You've got pollutants in water. You've got toxins. You've got bacteria. You've got all sorts of heavy metals in it. And you take and you put shungite in it, and that field, not a chemical thing, it's the field of the molecule itself, is pulling in quantum energy at the same time busting up these things. Because when it hits the field, all of these things they're not electricity, they're not magnetism. They can't just reverse. They begin to disintegrate. And as they disintegrate, the door of the shungite opens up into the quantum field and sucks all that stuff and sends it back as proto-energy. When you wear it, when you have it on your body, it is working with your etheric energy body in order to balance you. It has got its own field that is vibrating at such a rate with such power because it's linked to the quantum fields. And we know this because we know the geometry. We understand how it is working. And that's the beauty of it, is that there is a science that unveils itself once you understand the world of shungite. And when you're wearing this thing, it causes that they got all this gunk of the fluoride in our brains. And that is all... It keeps the microcalcium crystals in the pineal gland from vibrating. That has to vibrate in order for it to have a carrier signal to communicate with your higher self. That's why they got the fluoride in the water, to keep you docile, to mm-hmm. keep you from having that physical vibration in your brain in the pineal gland, which is only the size of a pea, but it is the first gland that shows up in the human body.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so when you got the when you've got a pendant on, or you're carrying shungite on you, all of that gunk is broken up because the calcite starts to vibrate regardless of what's trying to gunk it up. Mm. So it busts open your pineal gland, and all of a sudden you start feeling connected. Now, you may not like the connection because shungite is subtle and relentless, and it will take you to a state of balance. And if that means that you have to let go of everything in your life to get there, it's going to take you there. And it can be a very, very rocky ride. Mm-hmm. So it's we have a saying, shungite is not for sissies.
Yes, I think I know what you mean. It's definitely stirred things up in my house. And I'm wearing a pendant that you sent me, and I keep it around my neck. And I also have the rocks... four of them, of the stones, in distilled water, because I find that that's another one of the best-kept secrets, is that it has a natural resonance for pushing out inorganic minerals, and it does not destroy the organic minerals. So it also helps with the cleansing of the pineal. So what else? Tell me how... What other things has it done? How else does it work? And how large a field?
Well, we found some very interesting things that, we didn't anticipate. It became clear to me very quickly that when you had two pieces of shungite together, see, if you've got a pile of rubies and you pick them out, every one of them is going to have the same frequency. Slightly different, maybe, because it might not be as pure. But if they're all pure, they're going to have the same frequency. If you take shungite and you've got a pile, every single nugget is going to have a different kind of field. It's very, they're all like little, like little individual pieces. And so when you take two of them and you put them together, each of those fields intensifies the overall field. If you take three, you get what's called cohesion, which we're not exactly sure exactly what it is, but it's like the optimum working field for shungite, three of them. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it from that standpoint, you go, okay, more is better. Mm-hmm. Then if you see, shungite is comprised of a molecule that is called a fullerene. Now, there are different versions of a fullerene, but the one that we reference all the time is called a C60. A C60 has 60 molecules, 60 atoms of carbon. Mm. When you look at it, it's like two geodesic domes that are on top of each other. Therefore, that's why it has the name fullerene, and also called a buckyball, which is for Buckminster Fuller.
Mm.
Because Buckminster Fuller was an architect, a humanitarian. He had so many gifts. But in the architectural world, he designed the geodesic dome, which is what he's most well known for, which is working on tension to create a very, very solid structure. So that same tension is what keeps the buckyball such a formidable molecule. It's huge. They can put things in it. It's one of the most scientifically investigated subjects right now. I mean, they're all looking at it. If you Google it, you're going to see, you know, 250,000 different hits about shungite, about the fullerene and the buckyball. But this structure is a very complex geometry. And within that geometry, you understand, if you study Buckminster Fuller's talks about the Genesis crystal, which is got a zero point. Mm-hmm. The zero point is the connection to the quantum field. And when you have a buckyball or a fullerene, a C60, you have many zero points. Okay, so this is a world unto itself that has a complete connection to the quantum field. And we learned, interestingly, JP said one day that he thought it was being sucked into the quantum field. And I'm going, no, the field is coming out of the quantum field. But I knew he was right. So I got with my technician and brilliant, brilliant scientist, Walt Silva. And I said, well, Jay says this, I say this, there's got to be somewhere along the line, there's an explanation why we're both saying opposite things, but they're true. And so we started to work with Fuller's concepts and some things that we had already learned. And we realized that it's like a door that opens up into the quantum field and then opens up from the quantum field back into the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the strange things about shungite is that when I first started doing the pendants, I was using silver filled, which is silver on top of copper. And one day I'm looking at somebody on Skype who's wearing it. And I went, what's wrong with your pendant? And she said, oh, I meant to tell you, all the silver's gone. Huh. Well, what happens is that when you put silver with shungite, the silver transmigrates right on into the shungite. And it's not a coating. You can't even scratch it off. You know, it's just in there. And working with it, we realized that when shungite is immersed in silver and absorbs the silver, then it keeps the quantum door open. It doesn't allow it to open up the other way, pulling things in. So we've developed a number of different types of devices that basically are for pulling quantum energy into your field that will allow you to manifest faster. I started to tell you about the fullerene because when you have the fullerene in what's called elite shungite, elite shungite is very shiny, very crystalline, very brittle, and very expensive. When you have that, you've got 90% of the fullerenes in it. Well, what happens is that it's too tightly packed and they can't vibrate correctly. And we were learning that none of us who are very energy sensitive were getting a really energetic movement within the elite. It does have a field, it's a very nice field, but it wasn't energetic like the raw pieces were, which in our case, we try to maintain a 60% fullerene from where we get it. And It took a long time to figure out how that all get, how to get the guys that know what they're getting, you know, and it's like, it's not the easiest material to bring into the States. But when you have the powder, you've got even more space between the molecules, which means that powder has more numbers and more space, and therefore, in shungite, the smaller the shungite, the more powerful it is. And by power, I mean how much energy is flowing. That's why the Bucky Band-Aids are made with powder. And, you know, you go, why would a little piece of a pile of powder be able to do all this? Because of the nature of shungite.
Interesting. Well, I'm looking at the picture here of the fullerene on your website at cosmicreality.net. And there's a picture of Buckminster Fuller with the geodesic dome, and then the shungite and a soccer ball. And I now see visually that it is interconnecting pentagram shapes. That's really fascinating.
Yes, and the other thing about it is that in a molecule, well, atoms always want to become stable. So they have these little bridge-like things that they're trying to attach to other things so that they can get stable. In that particular molecule, you really have like 60 of these bridges that are open. So they attach, they attract. It's like everything that we learn about the molecule just makes it more and more scientifically wow, because it proves so many things scientifically. But it is a gift from Gaia. Gaia led me to it. There was virtually nobody in the United States bringing in shungite in any amount into the States. There was a few vendors that would sell it to you so that you could purify your water. But they were doing it based on the concept that you have a pile of shungite that you put in a liter of water, and then you got to take it out, and you got to make sure it's charged. And all of that is obsolete science. You can take one nugget of shungite, drop it in, if you drop it in beer or wine, one nugget, it starts to effervesce. You see all these bubbles coming up from it. And immediately the wine or beer will get this smooth taste in your mouth, and that's because the surface tension has changed, and so it's reacting as a smoother kind of a liquid. It absolutely will taste better, but you're not going to get buzzed. Because why? Because now you've shungited this stuff with energy that wants to balance you.
Interesting.
Try it out. Try it out. I'm telling you, it's really funny because.
So what does it do when you put it in the water, and what is a fullerene?
Well, when you put it in the water, what happens is that the charge of the shungite charges the water. And in the case of water, when you go down a pipe for 100 feet or you make a 90-degree turn, the water stops spinning. It becomes dead.
When you
put the water in a field of shungite, it starts to spin. And not only that, but the water that's sitting over the field, let's say we don't have a moving water, we got just stagnant water. You take shungite, you put it on the water pipe that's coming into your house, or you can put it on the cold intake to your water heater. It's going to do the same thing. We say cold because we tell you, take three nuggets, put them on a piece of aluminum tape or duct tape, and wrap it around the pipe. When the water under that field starts to spin, the resonation of that field throughout the next, in other words, every molecule that's next to a spinning molecule begins to spin. So from that one field, I don't know how far, I know it goes up to my water meter, which is a half an acre away, and I'm pretty sure it might go all the way to the plant. I don't know how far this thing goes. But I do know that regardless of all the shungite I had here, Walt said, you know, we're going to do this water pipes and spin it. All right, fine, I'll put it on there. And I put it on there, and I was shocked. I was shocked because the entire house with all this water now shungited in it was virtually beaming.
Wow.
You know, I got away. I have an acre of land, and I'm walking away from the house, and I turned around, and I looked at it, and I virtually could see a field all around the house. And when you take a shower with it, the shampoo's going to lather more, the soap's going to lather more. Why? Because it's again, the surface tension's changed because now it's spinning. You're going to feel unbelievably rejuvenated, and if you drink the water out of the tap, it's going to taste better than you ever could imagine.
Well, you know, I have a quick testimonial, and then we'll have to wrap it up. But my dog has been licking her paw, one of her paws, until it became a huge sore, and she's been doing this for several years. I have tried literally everything under the sun to stop it, to heal it, etc. I took a small piece of the shungite, and I taped it with duct tape around her dog tag, and she has started to heal. And so, you know, I can only say that the coincidence or synchronicity is there. Nancy, out of time.
Okay. We do have pet pendants on the store. CosmicReality.net. You'll see the shungite store. You can buy a pendant for your animals.
Wonderful. Well, then you just gave out your website, and you're also on Wolf Spirit Radio, and the links are all there. They'll be permanently there on your bio, so people can just check it out in the archive show, which will be up in about a day or so. Nancy, thank you so much for coming on the show. I love your work, and I highly recommend your book. So thank you much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Be safe. Everybody, be safe.
Good night, everybody.